Welcome to a very important edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
And Dr. and Ryan, as we get started today, I'd like to begin with the words of President Ronald Reagan, who said, "Freedom is a fragile thing and is never more than one generation from extinction." And you know, after the last few years of politics here in this country, Doctor, I think I understand that quote now more than ever.
You know, Luann and Ryan, everywhere I go today, I'm hearing from moms and dads, young people and the elderly, from clergymen and professionals and people of all races who are increasingly concerned about the direction our country is going. Mm-hmm. There's just almost an epidemic out there of concern that things are not going right, mm-hmm. and they're not going to go right because the people in power are taking us in directions that are going to harm the society and harm families and the rest of us. There is a sense of urgency in their voices when they tell me about how troubled they are over the things that are happening in the nation's capital and in every state and in courtrooms across the nation. I have to tell our listeners that I agree with them. Our religious freedoms, which are fundamental to this country's foundation and spirit, are being trampled on. We're getting mauled in new ways almost every day. Now, to discuss the gravity of this situation, I've invited to the studio today Alan Sears, the president and general counsel of the Alliance Defending Freedom organization. It used to be called the Alliance Defense Fund. You don't want to hear that anymore, do you, Alan, because you've got a more appropriate name for it. But it's the same organization, same board, same people, and same mission.
And same founders, including Dr. James Dobson.
Well, welcome. And I want to tell our listeners again who you are. You've been on my programs for many years, going back to 1985 when we first met as members of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, and you were the executive director of it. And I learned to trust your instincts. And I learned about your heart for righteousness. And I mean, we had just sat down at the table in Washington, and it was just a few minutes before I recognized I had an ally at the end of the table. And it's been a pleasure working with you. But let me continue with the introduction. Alan Sears has been practicing law for three decades, and he's a regular opinion contributor to townhall.com. I'm sure many of our listeners have read his writings there. He's also co-authored several books, including The ACLU Versus America and The Homosexual Agenda, Exposing the Principal Threat to Religious Freedom Today. Let me go back to what I said earlier, Alan. Do you think there's ever been a time in American history when the government seemed more determined to destroy religious liberty as defined in the Constitution?
It's simple to say no. Not since the American Revolution have we ever had a time when our own government was attacking religious liberty and attacking the right of conscience of its citizens in the direct and very dangerous way that it's doing today. In fact, in some of the areas, we've gotten out of the debate over what we're going to disagree on, and we now are seeing the government attempt to impose what is the equivalent of a death penalty on people in business and in commerce with whom they disagree on religious liberty issues.
What is the bottom line? What do you think their motive is in doing this, in forcing people of conscience to do things that violate their principles and their values? Is there a sinister motive in all of that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I and many of those who work with me on the legal front have asked over and over, and one of the things that some of our lawyers actually get the privilege of doing when you get to court is ask people those kinds of questions. You ask why they're doing this. And one of the things that really troubles me, Dr. Dobson and Ryan and Luann, is the really great misunderstanding that many people have in positions of power, particularly in this administration today, about the most basic concepts of liberty. They do not understand what the American Revolution was about. They do not understand the most basic precept of the Declaration of Independence. You know, we've had a president who, at least on four occasions, when talking about the rights that were endowed to us by our Creator, has left out the word Creator. And the one of the most basic founding principles of America was that there is a law that's above all the other laws. That law is that of the Creator that grants to us these certain rights because of the dignity we have as human persons, because we were created in the image and likeness of God. And I think this is the greatest single misunderstanding that I'm seeing on the part of many people in the judiciary and in the executive branches and many in the legislative branches of government today that are creating this legal chaos, Dr. Dobson, is they don't understand the most basic precept of liberty that we have.
You know, my wife and I really enjoy recording, downloading black and white movies from the 30s and 40s and 50s. I don't know why, but it's just fun to go back and see how people thought then, how they acted, how they talked, and how the theme of those movies unfolded. And one of the things I've noticed is that liberty was often mentioned. People took it for granted that this is something important. By taking it for granted, I don't mean that they were willing to see somebody attack it, but just the opposite. They were saying our liberty matters. I mean, that's from the founding fathers. They knew what the difference between being free versus in bondage really meant. People don't seem to get that now. They don't talk about it in that way.
No, they don't. And what really was apparent in that culture that you're talking about, what was exhibited in those Hollywood productions, was an understanding of the framework for freedom, that America was uniquely different upon the face of the earth. It was the only nation that was founded in the way that it was founded, that had founding documents that were for the purpose of restraining government from growing to overtake all the rights of the people. The presumption was that the people were the ultimate government, and they did that through a written constitution, so the meaning would stay the same from the day it was written until today. And so even when we get into some of those colorized movies, Dr. Dobson, I always remember Irving Berlin, the great Jewish songwriter and producer, with White Christmas. And that, again, that incredible presumption that the most basic life force of America was to protect the liberty of others. The reason people went over there, the reason that people fought the war in Europe and the war in Asia, was to defend the liberty of others. And as somebody once said so well, America has captured perhaps more soil than any other country in the history of the world, but all they've ever claimed was enough room to bury their troops. Those who died and gave their lives.
That is powerful. Well, we have so many critical issues that we want to ask you about. Mm-hmm. I want to say up front that this will be, I'm sure, a two-part program. It could be a 12-part program because of what's going on in the law, and that is your focus. And I want you to bring us up to date on some of these issues that have great implications for our families and for our liberty. Let's talk first about Obamacare. it has not really taken full effect yet, but when it does, people are going to realize we have been had and in very specific ways, and yet there's also hope there. Talk about it.
Well, again, you know, we have an issue where people don't understand that limiting our economic liberty also eliminates our religious liberty, also deals with rights of conscience. And people are beginning to wake up with the fact that this isn't really going to lower costs and all these other kind of things. But one of the most serious attacks is what Obamacare has decreed for every employer in America, except specifically churches. There's only a tiny narrow exemption that every employer will provide what we call the abortion pill mandate. Basically, Mr. Obama and his cohorts at the Department of Health and Human Services have said that you have a choice. You can either provide in the insurance coverage you give to your employees contraception, Pills that clearly do abort. The so-called morning or week after is just a euphemism for a pill that does take innocent human life, mm-hmm. and sterilization. And people across various faith lines have said, absolutely not. We care about our employees. We have built these businesses because we care about people. We want to provide goods and services. We want to provide things the community needs. And we cannot, in good conscience, instead of providing health coverage that saves life, provide so-called health coverage that takes life. Mm-hmm. And across the denominational sphere, there are people who agree and disagree with different parts of what's mandated. But the bottom line is the government is now substituting itself for the theologians. They're telling you and I that they can decide who is religious enough to be exempt and then what we can do to practice our faith. Now, let me apply this specifically. For example, there's a company in Denver, Colorado. It is the Hercules Company. They've been around for 50 years, third-generation family business that provide employment to more than 300 people in the state of Colorado. They make air conditioning and heating equipment. This organization is owned by the Newland family, who are very deeply dedicated Christians, who say we cannot participate in funding the taking of innocent human life. They face, under this Obamacare mandate, fines of about $10 million a year. Mm. Now, Dr. Dobson, if you'll forgive me, I'd like to do a little math with the listeners here. If you provide your employees no insurance at all, you will pay a fine of about $1,000 per employee per year. If you buy good insurance for your employees, you're paying thousands of dollars per employee, and then you will be fined $100 employee per day, which is $36,500 per employee. So the fine for no insurance and the fine for having excellent insurance but leaving out abortion pill coverage is 36 times greater. Hmm. Think about it. This is not a woman's issue. This is not a health issue. This is about an agenda of abortion.
That's right. It's specific.
It's very specific.
It's very, very specific.
Multiply the numbers you just gave for other organizations like Hobby Lobby, who is one of those who's saying as Christian owners, we cannot do this. Steve and David Green, the people who built this company, are standing. And the amount of fines are such that no organization can pay them. So this is why I say, Dr. Dobson, this is a death penalty for those who disagree with the Obama abortion decree. Now, in the middle of this black cloud, I will tell you there's some good news.
Please.
and the good news is that like the Green family with Hobby Lobby, there are ministries and there are individual privately owned companies and organizations across America that are standing strong. I mentioned the Newland family in Denver, who are one of those who've given courage to many others. One of those that I'm just tickled to death about is Tyndale Bible Publishers. Tyndale, one of the largest Bible publishers in the world, said no to the abortion pill decree. Now, one of the things you'll really enjoy to let you know again about this agenda is that the Obama administration decreed that Tyndale was not religious enough to be exempt.
That's a big, that's the second time you've said that. Who's deciding who's religious enough? I mean, that's a crazy statement to make.
Well, this is the decision this administration is making. But I'm delighted to tell you that Tyndale Bible has an injunction, like the Newland family in Denver, and like now 14 other organizations have. They have injunctions saying no to President Obama. In fact, of the cases that have been decided at the early stages on the merits, the rulings right now stand at 14-5. 14 businesses have won, five have lost. So that means Mr. Obama and his administration have lost 14 times.
You know, you can count Family Talk in that number because I wrote a letter 2 years ago when I saw what they were doing with abortion and I said, Mr. President, I can't do this. This is profoundly wicked to me. And for me to have gone along with your plan to kill babies here would violate everything I stand for. And therefore, sir, I won't do it. And if that is a problem for you, you'll have to come get me because I won't do it. Now, fortunately, Family Talk is not a huge organization. We have about 35 employees right now. We're growing rapidly, in fact. But right now, that puts us below a threshold of, I think, 50 mm-hmm. employees. And so we found solace in having a self-insured policy that all but for a tiny portion of it allows us to escape the rigors of that law. But I wish others would do that, especially those that qualify for that limitation.
How much time has it taken you to get us to that point, though?
Well, I said it was 2 years ago. Oh, I said I can't do this. Yeah. And I went on record.
We've talked about it at every board meeting. We've had multiple meetings about it. We've met with multiple insurance companies. We've had to hire lawyers to go through all this. It is not an easy job.
Because what they're asking me as the president to do is to pay for medications, contraceptives, the morning after pill that will result in the killing of babies. Right. I can't do that.
Yeah. Mm. Can't do it. Won't do it. And God would not bless you if you did do it. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that we know of in American history where we've had this kind of attack directly on our citizens and on our rights of conscience and add to it the incredible sanctions. The penalty is so great mm-hmm. that no one, if these are imposed and the amounts of money are allowed to stand, these penalties are so great that no one who resists can stop it. Now, as I say, the good news is people are standing. And I'm calling on anyone who's listening to this program to let us know if you want to join those ranks. If you're an employer that is covered under the Obamacare decree and you're being told you have to provide these things, give us a call. Contact us through Family Talk, and our lawyers will see what they can do to help you to join the ranks of those who've stood up. Now, I'm also encouraged. One of the things, Dr. Dobson, you and I have talked about many times is concern about Christian colleges. You know, how are they adhering to the basics of the faith and how are they standing up? Mm-hmm. We're representing over 20 different Christian colleges right now, ranging from Biola University to Geneva back east to Thomas Aquinas to others that have absolutely said, we will not provide to our faculty, to our staff and administrators, or our students, any health plan that has these decrees. Now, the Obama administration is trying to delay, and we haven't had any rulings on those cases because the administration is trying to delay getting rulings. They keep saying, we're going to change the rules, Judge, so you don't need to rule right now. Mm. But the good news that I'm going to do something dangerous. I'm going to submit that once these cases do get to the highest level of the court, the Supreme Court, unless the bottom falls out of our Constitution, we're going to win this. We're going to win this issue because it is in violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was passed overwhelmingly by Congress and signed into law by President Clinton. It is in violation of the most basic concepts of the First Amendment. And I like to remind listeners in these times of discouragement that the Obama administration lost another one of its ventures into the world of religion a year ago at the U.S. Supreme Court. And they lost 9-0 with two of President Obama's appointees as part of that nine. And that's when they tried to interfere with the ability of ministries to decide the standards for hiring and employment of people within the ministry. That was the Hosanna Tabor case. Mm-hmm. So this administration has done it again, Dr. Dobson. They've gone too far. And if God's people will stand up, if those members of Congress who understand this issue will continue to hammer away to support the freedom of conscience laws that have been introduced, and we can get these cases before the courts, we're going to win this one. Now, there's a lot of other battles to fight, but this is one we can win.
If our listeners are supporting ministries and organizations that have not been willing to take a stand on this issue, and they are providing abortifacients, I hope they will write them You know, you mentioned the constitutional rights in World War II, where the very life of the nation was at stake. You know, I remember my mother telling me when I was 5 years old, we could very easily lose this war, and we could have. And yet the government of the United States allowed a conscientious objector to say, I can't fight. And he did other things in the war effort, but he didn't carry a gun. They acknowledged that there is a right to conscience.
And that goes back to what we talked about at the outset of this program today. The founding purpose of this nation was to establish a framework for freedom, so that even people with religious viewpoints, such as conscientious objectors, which in wartime was a view held by a very small number of people.
Yeah, most of the citizens didn't agree with it, and yet there was a provision for it.
But yet we upheld that right because that was back to the core understanding and belief of what religious liberty and rights of conscience mean in this country. And so here we are, 70 years after that war, now telling people that you've got to deliberately and knowingly fund the extermination of another generation of Americans. Can't be done.
Alan, you've mentioned this a couple times now, the need for courage. You cited these businesses as being courageous. And this is no time for wimps, Doctor. You've just indicated it with your passion. And I'm just looking at Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians that says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. That is going to be the hallmark of our faith as the evangelical community going forward.
Book of Joshua.
Yes,
says 1:9. Four times in the first chapter, be strong and courageous. If there ever was a time when we needed people to be strong, courageous, and vocal in a representative form of government, this is it.
Because to add on to that, Doctor, why? Because I, the Lord your God, am going with you. That's the only way we can
win this
fight.
Well, and what's amazing for those people who have had courage, as I said, the rulings stand right now at 14-5. And I am absolutely confident that the Justice Department is amazed by this. You know, a little side story. During one of these hearings involving Tyndale Bible, there was an interchange between the Obama lawyers and the judge. And the judge says, my wife's a doctor, but she's also incorporated her medical practice. And basically, the Department of Justice, there's a transcript of this, explained that his wife may have to choose. If she has her conscientious objection to doing things, she may have to choose between being incorporated or practicing medicine because they're suggesting that if you incorporate, you can't have certain rights, that if you're in business for a profit, you can't have certain rights. It's absolutely the kinds of things we've never heard ever argued by our government against its citizens before. But as I say, the good news is, we are winning more than 2-1, almost 3-1 right now.
Well, that's about the best news I've heard because all I hear is the negative side of that. We are out of time. I knew it was going to happen. We haven't even finished dealing with one issue, and we're going to have to pick up right here next time. But, Alan, right before we went on the air, you were quoting the words to a hymn that I love, and I joined in, and we quoted it together.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's where we are.
Amen, and thanks be to God.
Oh, amen. There is no other hope to be found. And yes, we really are out of time for today.
Yeah.
So let me just quickly remind those of you listening that we have a link to Alliance Defending Freedom from our website, drjamesdobson.org. They can help you stay current on these issues and others, as Alan Sears and his team are regularly updating that information.
And if you, unfortunately, find yourself in a legal battle specifically to defend religious liberty or the sanctity of life or marriage issues right now, their network of more than 2,000 highly trained Christian attorneys stands by ready to assist you. And the place to start is at that very same ADF website. When you get there, you can just click on the Get Legal Help tab at the top.
And this quick program note for all of you in the greater Dallas area. You might have heard that my dad, our host, Dr. James Dobson, is going to be speaking at the First Baptist Church of Dallas this Sunday, April 21st, as that community dedicates their brand new facility. Mm-hmm. Make plans now to join him. That's First Baptist Church Dallas this coming Sunday morning, April 21st. And for those that can't make it all the way to Dallas, they'll be streaming that service live online, and we'll have a link to that at drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and do return next time when we will do our best, I promise, to wind up this vital conversation with special guest Alan Sears with the alliance that is defending your freedom. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, I'm Greg Laurie, senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship and the speaker for the Harvest Crusades. And I'm honored to serve as the 2013 honorary chairman for the National Day of Prayer Task Force. The 2013 theme for the National Day of Prayer is Pray for America. Isn't that fitting? Man, if our country ever needed prayer, it's right now. If you want to host, attend, or learn more about the National Day of Prayer, please visit nationaldayofprayer.org.